that Tony and Michaelin got away for the week, the beginning of this week, and we pray that they were refreshed and excited and pumped up, and that you would bring back a great message, if it be your will, from what they've learned down there this week at that prophecy conference. And we ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts as we... my only intent, Lord, is to be a reminder to my brothers and sisters in Christ about some things here in the last days, and to nudge them a little bit. And so I pray that you would help me do that well and be without distraction, Lord, that I can get the information off my heart and into their ears. And then you do the rest, Lord. May you have your way with our hearts and minds tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Matthew 24, and then again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll look at some verses there. My topic is going to be deception, and specifically, I'm going to hone in on the specific type of deception I'm going to be talking about, which is, you know, everything that's going on in Ukraine, and there's so much media, and it's mostly just junk, all right? And so I want to talk about how we should respond to all of that as believers in these last days, and encourage you to stay calm and continue on, okay? So first, I need to tell you a story. About a year ago or so, I got scammed in a computer scam, and I knew from the very beginning, as soon as I had to make that phone call. I even told the fellow on the other end, I said, I know you're scamming me. I know it. But let's, you know, and my computer was locked and all that nonsense. And even though I knew already that I was being scammed, I continued on with this individual who was very polite and helpful, by the way. He wanted information. He needed information from me. Just all the wrong information that I didn't want to give them. So, and this went on for what? I don't know, probably 4 days, a weekend. It was like, yeah, it was a whole week where he had control of my computer online and all this, and I'm just like frustrated. And see, I don't do the banking in the family, so they had their own computer. But anyway, I knew I was being scammed the whole time. And so finally, I was talking to Tony. And he said, dude, you're getting scammed. And I immediately just stopped all communication with that group and turned my computer off. And I took phones and computers to the computer tech and had them zero out everything. And it was just a big hassle. But through all that, I was not as angry with the scammer as I was for myself for being scammed. Okay, and you know, I hope that you realize that we live in the age of deception right now. We're at the end of the age. We're almost right up to the beginning of the tribulation, and it's going to get worse and worse, this scamming stuff. But you know, when we get deceived, it really is our own fault, you know, and I want to remind you of that if you get punked by the media in this day and age, shame on you. And I know that you would be more, disgusted with yourself if you allowed what's going on today in the media's to scam you or to deceive you. So I just want to nudge you tonight and remind you some things. And the other thing is that you see Christians right now, and so-called Christians, just arguing and fighting on what side to pick, you know, or In all kinds of topics. I mean, everything is about dividing right now. I don't care what news it is. It's propaganda to do one thing, and that's to divide us. And we need to know that up front and be reminded of that. So, and it's all a scam. It's all deception. So we need to be careful and not get caught up in the deception and the scams that are going on. Now, again, the topic is deception. So turn to Matthew 24:3, and we're going to look at some verses here. We're We're going to start in verse 3, but if you recall, the disciples had were kind of excited about what was going on at the temple, and they talked about the massive building project that Herod had, and Jesus kind of blew their mind. And so later that day, they came to him, and they asked him about the things that he had mentioned. In verse 3, he says, "Now, as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" So there's a when question and then two whats. All right. So there's actually, you'll see in your notes probably from your Bible, in your Bible, that there was two questions, but I think there's three. But anyway, when will these things be? And what will be the signs to look for these things? And so, and tonight's not so much about the prophecy, and I would love to talk to you about what's going on in Ukraine, but I'm sure Tony's going to have more information from his conference. But again, more tonight, I'm more interested in one of the very first signs that Jesus mentions. Okay? So, this is about prophecy, but we're looking at a particular sign tonight. In verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And right there, I see that as one of the first signs of being in the last days. Again, deception. There's going to be those who deceive you. And so he goes on. He says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars," or news of wars. That's probably a better translation. "See that you are not troubled." So everything that's going on in Ukraine, right now, the media is attempting, you know, we had COVID for 2 years of that nonsense of fear-mongering, and now we've got the fear-mongering of World War III, all right? And they want to scare you some more. Well, what did Jesus just say? "See that you're not troubled." In other words, don't be in a state of fear, okay? Don't let these things that are happening, God's still in control, all right? And so we just need to trust and just take each day as it comes and not worry about the future. You know, Jesus said the future will have its own worries, right? So we need to worry about today, what's going on, and how it's, you know, what's impacting me today should be our main focus, not about next week or next month or what will happen. So we need to do exactly what Jesus said, is to not be troubled about what news we hear on the news. He says, "All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So those signs of deception are really not the end of it, okay, or not the beginning of the end. They're almost like non-signs. And he says in verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Now I don't know how many times I've read this. I could, probably 100 times. I've read that verse, and I always thought that "in various places" was only tied to earthquakes, okay? And it just dawned on me the other day that "in various places," we should think global, okay? Global earthquakes, not just isolated little earthquakes, but there's going to be global earthquakes. But in addition to that, there's going to be global war and global race issues, okay? And we see that right now. They're all global incidents. And especially with the global situation with COVID 2 years ago. And here's the thing. It says, "All these are the beginnings of sorrows." And when you see that word sorrows, it literally means labor pains, okay? And so it's like these signs are like labor pains. And he says, "They will deliver you up to tribulation to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another, hate one another, etc. Then many false prophets will rise and again deceive many." So there's deception. So deception is one of the great signs, I think, of the beginning. And we'll see from what John wrote that it started all the way back in the first century. But deception, Okay. And so I want to stay kind of on that topic tonight. And just to finish what Jesus was saying there to the men, he said, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." All right. The very first thing that Jesus warns us and the disciples about was deceivers. So we need to be on the lookout for deceivers. Now, you know, Tony teaches all the time, 1 Corinthians, he talks about, you know, love believes all things. Well, that's with believers. We should give each other the benefit of the doubt. But when it comes to the world, we should be a lot more watchful and careful about what we take in through the ear gate and the eye gate, you know, because of deceivers that are out there. So when we look at, and you can flip right over to 2 Timothy 3:13. In 3:13 it says, "But evil men," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Okay, so not only do these evil people have the intent to deceive, but they are also deceived while they're trying to deceive. Okay, and we need to remember that. Okay, and Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." So really, we have a responsibility when it comes to being deceived. Just like I felt the responsibility and felt like an idiot when I got deceived. And man, I don't want you guys to feel that way, especially as it relates to what's going on in the world and the news. And so I feel like we have a responsibility. Do you agree? I mean, so if you get deceived, shame on you, you know. So I'm not going to go through that. But so what is deception, really? What is it about? So in the guys in my Bible program, Lou Nita, defines the particular Greek word. It means to cause someone to hold a wrong view and thus be mistaken, to mislead, to deceive, deception, to cause to be mistaken. So there's an actual intent for people, especially of the world, those who are not saved, to deceive us. And it doesn't matter what topic we're talking about here. We just need to be on the lookout for deceivers. So there's an intent of one person to provide information to another for the purpose that you will hold the wrong view on whatever topic it's you're receiving the information about. Now, Webster's, again, I use this one all the time, Webster's 1828 Dictionary defines deception as to cause to accept as true or valid what is in fact false or invalid. Okay, so what did Paul say to Timothy? Evil men will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Okay, that's what the Bible says. So we need to be on our guard in these last days. The closer we get to the rapture and then the tribulation, we need to be prepared for people of the world, whatever system, whatever topic we're talking about, of deception, all right? And yet, a lot of us, a lot of Christians, watch the news as if they're receiving the gospel truth, you know, and they get upset or excited, or they start to land on an opinion. They start to argue about who's right, who's wrong, and all this, and quite frankly, we shouldn't believe anything they're saying because we know what the word says, that they have an intent to deceive us. So, you know, as you receive information of what's going on in world events and global events, be very careful about landing on an opinion about something that you really don't know nothing about, especially when you're receiving it from the media. Because they have strings attached to them and they have their intentions, okay? It's called propaganda, all right? So be very careful with that. Because I see brothers and sisters dividing over news topics and it's like, it ought not be this way, all right? So we need to be careful. We all have a responsibility. You guys shook your head, I saw it. So, all right, and we shouldn't believe anything they're saying right now. So, again, be careful. Now, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, this is the Lord speaking, he says, cursed is the man who trusts in a man. So when you sit yourself down in front of the nightly news, and you're listening to someone who is of the world talking about things in the world, and you begin to trust what that individual is saying, guess what? You're calling down a curse on yourself. You're being deceived. So be very careful. And you hear from the newscasters themselves, they say, we are the most trusted news source in America. You know, and it's like right away you just kind of go, really? Is that true? 100%? 50%? And I've dealt with press as a fire chief and a firefighter. I've had to deal with the press. And I guarantee you, every time I read the things that I said in the newspaper, it was always 50%. You can guarantee 50% of everything they write is correct, and the other 50 is misleading and wrong. And I actually got to a point where I refused to talk to reporters unless they recorded me. I wanted them to have the words that I said about whatever it was that was going on. So, you know, I've seen firsthand, and I might not have an intent to deceive, but man, every case, 50% of everything they wrote about a situation I knew of and was involved in, they were wrong. 50% of the information they provided was wrong. And then there are those that actually put out information to deceive. And those are the really scary ones. And again, right off the bat, when they say, trust us, I mean, it's like, whoa, 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 start pumping the brakes right now. So don't believe a word they're saying. And what did Jesus say? He said, take heed that no one deceives you, okay? You and I need to be careful and watchful about being deceived. There used to be a saying, I won't believe it unless I see it. Well, in our age today, if I even see it, I don't believe it now. And that goes with what's going on in the Ukraine. You can't trust anything that you see on the news because it's tapings and recordings and, you know, pictures from other wars from years ago. You don't know whether it's the Ukraine. You don't know if they're Russian, you know. So there's no need for us to get so bent out of shape with one another when we're discussing those topics. It'd be much better if you talked about the Bible, right? But when you do get on those topics, just realize that I would say probably 90% of it's deception. They're trying to sway your opinion about something for political reasons. And so you need to be extremely careful, all right? So there's your warning. So don't believe everything you see, all right? And it says, you know, that verse that we just read there in Timothy, it basically said that, you know, men have gotten worse and worse, all right? Well, let me say it this way to you. Men will get better and better at deceiving and being deceived, all right? That's another way. So as followers of Christ, we have a responsibility in not being deceived. It's on you. And again, if you buy the soap, you're going to eat it. So be careful what you're buying. All right, so switching gears. Now remember, and we need to remember this, that Satan is the current and temporary ruler of this world. All right? He has the power and influence over the current state of affairs in all aspects of the world system. So he has the influence over the narrative and the counter-narrative. And so often we think that our neighbor has it all wrong and we have the right narrative. Well, I guarantee you that the enemy has both narratives. The narrative that's pumped by mainstream media, and he's also got his hands and mitts in the counter-narrative. For the purpose of division, you divide and conquer. That's how you do it, right? So be very careful. Now, issues, and he has his hands on this media, and I'm telling you, all platforms, it regarding everything, whether it's politics, governments, medical field, medical science, And even in churches now, we have so-called faith leaders that are pumping the propaganda and are taking one side of an issue, and it's dividing the church. And you know what? We really should not have an opinion about that stuff. Really? I mean, we're like, again, visitors in somebody else's country. Our home is in heaven, not here on earth. And if you were visiting France, would you get tied up in the politics of the day, or would you just cruise through to the Eiffel Tower and see the sights and move on? I mean, you don't get bogged down with that, with the fight that's going on in that land, all right? And so I'm begging you guys to just be careful out there as to what opinions you might have, because you just may be wrong, and you may stumble a brother or get into a fight with a brother, and guess who's watching? Unbelievers. Now look at those Christians. They're fighting over politics of all things, you know, and it's just a sad state right now. And but the Lord warned us about what it would be like in the last days, so we should be ready for it. So the enemy has all sides of the propaganda machinery, okay, whether it's the current narrative or the counter narrative, whatever. He's pulling both sides, and we just need to know that and continue to move on. So, and not to, you know, sink our feet into some opinion or side. Now, we got to do our due diligence when it comes to politics, right? Because we're all voters. Most of us probably are voters. I still believe we need to vote our conscience, especially for those who stand for biblical principles, which are not many in this day and age. But we need to do our citizenship. Paul was a citizen of Rome, and he utilized the system for his benefit, and we should be doing the same. Playing by the rules, though. I guess those who play by rules often lose. But anyway, so, but no kidding. Don't believe what you hear, and even question what you're seeing in the news today. All right? Now, 1 John 5:19. It says, John writing, he says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The whole world, meaning the system. Okay. Now, if you look at that scripture in your Bible later on or whenever you see it again, notice that "under the sway of" is italicized, which means the translators put that in there for better readability. But if you were to read it the hard way without that, it would say "under the whole world lies the wicked one." And that little word "lies" is a two-letter Greek word that's en, literally just n, and it's it means a ton, really. It means that it's a marker of that word "n," which means that lies in that verse. It says it talks about a close personal association. So the enemy has a close personal association with the media. Okay, you need to know that. In other words, a little bit deeper, it says "one with," "in union with," "joined with," "joined closely to." So the wicked one is definitely connected to the world apparatus of the media, okay? And you just need to understand that. The world and its system, especially the news media, is in union and joined closely, Satan is, with the news media. So don't trust man or woman who are under the influence and sway of Satan providing you with information that you're going to make a huge decision on or a stand on. So just, again, we need to be very careful. Now, there is a reason why they call it programming, by the way. Think about that. I mean, forever it's been called "check your program guide." Program? You mean I'm being programmed? Yeah. You need to be very careful. And again, if you're reading more of the daily news versus your Bible, guess what? You're getting programmed from the devil, okay, from Satan himself. So you need to be in your Bible more than in your newspaper or your news media source, okay? So how do I protect myself from all of this? Well, number one, you need to pray for discernment, okay? It's actually a gift, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but you can pray for it, and God will provide it if you believe. Remember, if you believe what you've asked for, you'll receive it. So pray for discernment. Test all things according to the Scriptures. And if it can't fit into the Scriptures, the questions you might have or the test that you're trying to apply to it, then don't stand on whatever it is they're telling you. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:9, he said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." Okay, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So if Paul tells us, or if he prayed for us, his listeners of his letters for discernment, then we need to be asking for it too. And so we need to ask for discernment, especially in these last hours. Discernment means to have the capacity to perceive clearly, and hence or therefore to understand the real nature of something. So just knowing that Satan's in control of the purse strings here, or the strings of the media, should give you a real good understanding of what's coming out of that media platform or source, okay? So, the nature is to deceive. They're going to get better and better at it as time goes by. The media is in communion with the enemy, so we don't want to be a part of it. So protect yourself. Pray for discernment. Test all things according to the Scriptures. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 says, "Test all things, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." So test all things, hold fast to what is good. So after you've done your test and it's good, hold on to it. Let the rest go. Again, if you were visiting, you know, France and just passing through, would you get tied down and bogged down with the politics of the day or some sort of fight that's brewing there? You know what? We have another destination. Our home is in heaven. We're just passing through here. Don't forget that. Test everything you hear and see, and don't be quick to have an opinion till you've done all your homework. And refuse to be divided from a brother or sister in Christ over questionable things. Okay? So if you run your test, you prayed for discernment, and you can't come to a solid answer, there's no reason to separate from a brother or sister in Christ. There's really only a few things. The greatest things is Jesus Christ himself, who he was, what he did, what he accomplished for us. That's a reason for us to separate. If they don't have the same Jesus Christ as we have, that our Bible tells us that he is, the Creator, that he died for our sins, was rose again on the third day, if they can't believe that, then that's a reason to separate. But from a lot of other things, even pre-trib, mid-trib, other topics, whether you're a dispensationalist or not, those are not things to separate over a brother, but on the character and nature of Jesus Christ. So test everything you hear and see. Now, 1 John 4:1-3, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now, 2,000 years ago almost, is already in the world. And he's been operating for a long time, and he knows how to do it very well." All right? So the spirit of Antichrist has already been working for a long time. He's got a head start on all of us. All right? Got a lot more experience than any of us on how to deceive. And you might ask, well, how do I test the news of the day? Well, reread and contemplate 1 John 4. You know, everybody talks about, "Oh, Trump's a believer." You know, I never heard that guy say one time that he believed on Jesus Christ as creator of the universe, that he died for our sins, and so on and so forth. So, you know what? If he can't verbalize that publicly, then I'm sorry. I'm not going to trust anything that comes out of his mouth. I'm to test all things, okay? And so don't get wrapped up in all this, the politics of the day. And God may be calling you to get into politics or even the news media. Man, we need Christians in those places, right? They can tell the truth and live by the truth. But you know what? Man, you really got to compromise to get those positions, because the enemy wants just the right ones to put in those positions. They have the right sounding voice and, you know, is a good reader of the information to regurgitate it back through the media. So we need to be very careful. And then lastly, in that 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, and we'll be done, Paul writes, he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned, okay, and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." In other words, he's saying, know the Bible. Continue in your Bible. Don't get so caught up in the news of the day. It's fun to watch the news and see how it matches up with Scripture as it relates to prophecy and stuff, but don't let it divide you and get you in fear, because that's where they want you. Fear is a great motivator, is it not? And they want you in fear constantly so that you react instead of think about how to behave. And through reading your word daily and through, you know, intimate prayer with the Lord, worship, you'll begin to protect yourself from that. What they're trying to do is to deceive us and to cause us to have fear. Amen? All right. So we're not going to have worship songs, so if you stand, we'll pray. I got you out of here early. Praise God. All right. Father God, we just give you praise and glory and thanks. We thank you so much for your written word, that we can read it. It's so available in this day and age, and we're so thankful for that, because it hasn't always been that way, Lord. So we thank you that your word is all over the place. It's on cell phones. It's Bibles everywhere. And we just give you the thanks and all the glory for providing it for us for this time. We pray, Father, that we would hunger and thirst for it, not only to hear it, but to do it. And Father, I just pray for this group and everybody in the sound of my voice that they would be on their guard in these last days, especially as it relates to deceiving and deceivers. Father, bless us as we go out about our week, and cause us to remember these things in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, so just again,